Hello, and welcome to this week's episode of Afternoon Tea.
Howdy.
I'm Kayla Hewitt.
I'm Max Friedel.
I very nearly just said I'm Max Friedel.
I'm Kayla Hewitt.
I would love to do a reverse, like, personality episode.
That would be good. Can we, if we make it to April Fool's Day? Good God, that would be incredible.
We just have to do impersonations of the other person for
That's
like
what me and Dave
minutes.
Are doing for me and my roommate are doing.
Wow, what a life we live. Anyway, Max, what have you been up to this week?
This week has kind of been a pain in the ass. I've been meaning to call my dad. So, Dad, if this podcast comes out before I call you, I'm so sorry. Oh, gosh. No, it's so funny. Like, the last time I called Dad, I, like, dropped a huge bomb on him. And I haven't talked to him in, like, 2 or 3 weeks. It was terrible behavior, but I've been busy.
That's how all communication between children and parents should work, I think.
Yeah, just like, hey, by the way.
Yeah, it should just be like we yell things at each other and then promptly leave.
You know, how was your weekend?
My weekend was good. It was like super nice outside. I had class outside today, which was a real pick-me-up after I completely failed an exam. So, you know, endorphins from the sun will balance that out. My
Is that
GPA.
How that works?
Yeah, no, it was a science class.
You failed your bio
test. I can't do science. So I'm an AMSTUD major. But yeah, other than that, but I did spend a lot of time outside this weekend because you and I attended a women's rugby game.
We stand the women's rugby team.
We really do.
They're a lot of my favorite people on campus.
Also, have you noticed their flyers around campus?
Yeah.
They're incredible.
No names. One of them made it, and I'm so proud of them.
Yeah, the ones like, do you enjoy feminism? Play women's rugby.
Incredible. No, I like the ones where it's just them, like, doing power stances and, like, saying, like, what they've learned from doing women's rugby, which is, you know, powerful, I suppose. Good messaging.
Yeah, you and I have both spent time with a women's rugby team, and we have varied opinions about our times, but not about the people.
I love them.
But... We both agree that all of the people on the women's rugby teams are it doesn't matter.
Folks.
You know what I mean. All the people who are on the women's rugby team are just very kind and lovely. A nice group of girls. But in watching this game, because of how sweet and nice they were, I was so shocked. This is my first rugby game at how just aggressive the game of
Vicious.
Rugby is. It is football without pads.
Yeah, no, there's more mutilation going on. The first rugby game I went to was a year ago. I was in support of one of my new friends. And I'm sitting there with other new friends, and I'm not really talking because I'm not good with first impressions. And so I'm sitting there, and it's like nighttime. I'm wearing a fleece. It's cold because it was cold last September. And just... So I'm actually paying attention to rugby. I'm trying to figure out how the game goes. And just one girl hits the ground, clutches her leg. And, like, me and, like, one of my friends who I'm really close with now, like, we're watching this. I'm like, what just happened? And she broke her leg.
Oh,
they snapped
God.
Her leg. Someone stepped on her. They had to germs her onto the field, wheel her out. I've been, like, this is 15 minutes into me watching rugby for the first time in my life.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That's, the whole time watching this game, I was just, like, flinching. Because I was like, someone's gonna die. Someone's gonna, because they just tape people down. Like,
yeah,
it's
you,
nothing.
Like, watch them get their heads stomped on.
It's so scary.
It's
I could
a great
not play
sport.
Rugby. I would run the other direction. Like, for sure. And just, like, score for the other team.
Yeah. No, I don't have the wherewithal, but whatever.
Yeah. But I would enjoy spending more time with the women's rugby team.
It's true, because, hot goss alert, we've both been to women rugby parties for different reasons.
Accurate.
I went in solidarity with one of my friends. We were just there. We showed up. It was a cute time. I hope no women's rugby players are listening to this, because...
Because they can beat you up.
They would beat me up, because they probably know me. But yeah, me and one of my friends were there, and neither of us were on the team. Me, for obvious reasons. And they just start doing cheers and chants, which is fine. Of course. But me and my friend were the only people who weren't on the team, so we didn't know any of the cheers. And so we had to sit there and not drink alcohol for 45 minutes while they did cheers, which is, I don't know. That was fine,
it's
I guess.
It's all
that was
in the
fine.
Camaraderie, you know.
And they drink Mad Dog. That's the real kicker, actually. That was the real kicker, is that they drink Mad Dog.
Yeah, they go hard. See, at the women's rugby team that I party that I attended, we all, like, chatted, ate some cake.
Was it a darty or not?
It was not a darty.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, we, like, had a nice conversation, danced a little bit. It was wholesome, honestly.
Really?
But yeah, it was a very safe space for me because what are statistics on?
We're working at a 14-3 ratio of queer women to straight women on the rugby team.
Which, about, like, isn't shocking. Let's
no,
be real.
No. That some woman on the Seattle Storm came out as gay like a year or two ago, and everyone was kind of confused why it was happening. Like, thanks for the info.
It's like, yeah, bro, like so yeah, like, just like a fun bunch. But what we wanted to talk about this week, which is like my lame way of segueing this,
no, this is good, this is good. A good 5 minute segue.
My way of segueing this is what we want to talk about this week was like the concept of like safe spaces on campus.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people, especially right now, the whole idea of like the liberal snowflake safe spacey college campus has become such like a big part of the rhetoric surrounding university life, I think. And so we kind of wanted to talk about how that is, the ways in which that is true and the ways that it very much isn't on Georgetown's campus.
Well, also, yeah, like, just to start things off, that safe spaces are bad is absurd.
Yeah.
Like, I, speaking as a queer man and, like, as a white queer man, so, like, I know I have, like, lots of, like, privilege going on, and a lot of my, like, queerness is invisible, and so it's, like, but it, for me, like, having safe spaces was, like, fundamental to me being able to come out to some of my friends. Mm-hmm. Like, without having spaces where I was comfortable saying that, like, I probably would not be out to myself mm-hmm. at all. And so it's, like, when people, like, kind of sneer at the idea of safe spaces, it makes me want to puke.
Yeah.
Like, it in that they're stupid. Not that, like, you know what I'm saying. But, because it's just, like, so annoying. It's just, like, shut the fuck up. Like, what the heck?
Yeah, no, it is crazy to think that, because, like, fundamentally, a safe space is just a space in which everyone is considered fully.
Yeah.
Like, like in the most fundamental of terms. So it's like, if you identify with pronouns which, like, someone else may not, like, automatically consider you to identify with, that's great. Everyone's mm-hmm. going to respect that. Obviously, not everyone in the world is like that, because some people in the world are just kind of horrible and not considerate of others and, like, don't understand things like identity and queerness and all those kinds of things. But I think as much as we possibly can amongst us, especially as young people who are all just trying to figure this out, like, is that not a good thing to try and, like, curate that kind of mentality?
Yeah. Well, it's like, and I understand the fear of developing, like, groupthink mm-hmm. and, like, what do you call it, like, secular thinking mm-hmm. and da-da-da-da, where you just create these kind of wind tunnels of, like, saying the exact same thing. And, like, mm-hmm. I get that. But also, that misunderstands the purpose of safe spaces. Mm-hmm. And, say, like, of course you can have constructive and critical thought mm-hmm. in safe spaces, but at the same time, like, that's not really what you're, like, getting at. Like, there are so many not safe spaces on college campuses mm-hmm. that to say that safe spaces don't need to exist is, like, misunderstanding their purpose.
Yeah, exactly. I was thinking about this, especially today, in one of my classes, because we were talking about gender identity, and my professor compared, not in that he, like, actually believed this necessarily, but he was just, like, for the sake of argument, trying to get us to, like, think more in depth about this idea. But he was talking about the idea that, like, gender identity and, like, something like Rachel Dolezal being, quote-unquote, transracial.
Cool.
He was essentially, like, equating the two and being like, well, if gender isn't biologically determined and neither is race, mm-hmm. then why can't Rachel Dolezal be transracial? And but people can be transgender. And obviously the whole, like, I don't think there was really anyone in the class who was like, yeah, professor, you're right, man.
He was just, like, checking that one out there for you guys to play with.
Yeah. But there were moments in the discussion where, like, obviously because not everyone's, like, well-versed in, like, like the vocabulary of, like, trans identities, mm-hmm. like, there were a lot of, like, slip-ups, which for, like, people who, like, identify with, like, trans identities could be much more, like,
uncomfortable.
Yeah, uncomfortable, and can make them feel like they're being, like, targeted in such a way, and especially, like, my professor and just trying to, like, give pushback to all of our ideas, not that he necessarily, like, agreed with the pushback, but just to, like, make us think more was, like, saying things that could be very...
challenges.
Yeah.
Like, your fundamental identity.
Exactly.
Sorry, not to cut you off, but
yeah, that's fine.
In the other days in my Islamic world class... It was, yeah, so my professor for my Islamic world class is, like, has a lot of hot takes, like, regularly says race doesn't exist, which is, like, race is a construct, but also, like,
race is also, like, a political identity, and, like, things like that, yeah.
Real, in a way, but yeah. Anyways, but she was talking about how, like, Arab it is not a racial group, mm-hmm. but, like, a language group, mm-hmm. you know, and so, like, people who speak Arabic are Arabs, and that was kind of, like, her argument. And it really bothered the fuck out of one of the kids in there who was a part of, like, a smaller Lebanese, what do you call it, like subgroup or mm-hmm. something like that. And he just, like, he, like, kind of got into this discussion that was very heated with the professor, but it was, like, so clear that what she was saying was just directly challenging his personal identity, mm-hmm. and that she was so kind of, like, clinically academic about it, mm-hmm. like... It was very strange, because on the one hand, like, I agree with mm-hmm. what, like, my professor was saying, but on the other hand, it's, like, but also watching this, like, person, like, deeply struggle with, like, kind of, like, their identity, like, being confronted and challenged, like, mm-hmm. in class, like, just for all of these kids sitting here, is, mm-hmm. like, it was, like, weird
yeah.
to just kind of watch.
Yeah, but I think those kinds of conversations can only really be constructive in a quote-unquote, like, safe space, if that makes sense.
What do you mean?
Like, in the sense that, like, that kid in, like, classroom setting, I think to a certain extent the purpose of those kind of conversations is to meant for us to, like, question, like, parts of our identity.
But, oh, yeah, but, like, identity. Fundamentally he knows.
Exactly, that he's not being, like, persecuted for, yes. like, who he identifies himself to be. But that's, like, the whole point of, like, especially, like, a liberal arts education is like, okay, you're this, but why are you this? And, like, what does it mean to be this? And what is the history behind you being this? And, like, I think that's, like, kind of the point of us being here. But at the same time, like, that doesn't work if you just feel like you're being attacked on a fundamental level.
Yeah, yeah. Can we talk about non-safe spaces?
Yeah, we can.
Yeah, because I, LOL, lived in a non-safe safe space for a good year up until now. Love my roommate now. Love you.
What a gem.
If you're listening, I love you. But, like, it was very difficult because it was, like, I would be baited into, like, having political arguments with my roommate last year. And it was just very frustrating because not all elements of my identity were on the table because I was not comfortable with that at all. Mm-hmm. And then also what that meant is that because of that, it was, like, things would be said that, like, made me uncomfortable.
Yeah.
As a result. And so it's, like, I was not being forthright with, like, all of my opinions, but mm-hmm. also just, like, I don't even know. Do you care to jump in about not safe spaces / my room last year?
I strayed as far away from your roommate last year as I possibly could. Mostly just because I think it's also interesting to note that Max and I come from very different backgrounds, like, in terms of, like, our high schools.
Yeah.
Like, I have most of my life attended, like, very much, like, Georgetown light, essentially, like, cool. schools, like, predominantly white, predominantly, like, affluent schools. So I'm...
Private schools.
Yeah, private schools. So I'm used to dealing with, like, straight white man, like, BS to a certain extent.
Yeah.
Whereas for you, like...
Yeah, this was new.
Yeah.
I went to a majority minority high school, a public school, which is, like, not to say that white people who are foolish don't exist in places like that. Like, they for sure do. But there's just, like... Ironically, like, while my high school was like definitely a safe space for many identities, thankfully, I suppose, it wasn't a safe space for like white bullshit, which is like fine. So then it was like, but it also means that people were very guarded in my high school because you didn't want to say something to like slip up and hurt someone's feelings. Although at the same time, it's like last year, like I guess while I was a freshman here, Islamophobic, like things were like graffiti was found in the bathroom. So it's like the ways in which kind of like people's like fears and doubts like seep out even in like spaces like that is kind of interesting. But yeah, but basically like I came to Georgetown like, what is Canada Goose? Like just like not at all ready for any of this stuff. Like no one wears boat shoes like where I'm from. It was very confusing.
Yeah, which is interesting because I'm black and you're white, but we like have reversed backgrounds in that way. Right? We love kumbaya, everyone. But anyway, my point in bringing that up was saying that, like, I'm very used to, like, people like your roommate last year. And so, like, when I, like, kind of realized what his deal was, I was just kind of like, all right, I'm going to need some time with you. Like, and it just, like, didn't bother me. It wasn't something I thought twice about.
Yeah.
But for you, well, also, you were, like, living with this person.
Yeah, I could just, like, pop off with all my hot takes about my own life.
But whereas I could, like, feel much more comfortable just being like, you're being dumb and you don't understand anything of what you're talking about, and then kind of walk away and not really care. Yeah. You didn't have that privilege.
No. That's true.
But I think it is also interesting to think about the idea that, like, the role that, like, feelings come into play, right? Because, like, what you said is, like, part of, like, the reason that, like, your room was an unsafe space is because, like, he was coming for identities that you...
That were mine.
Yeah, that were yours, but you weren't necessarily, like, gonna say. So you had, like, in arguing against him, you had to be much more, like, quote-unquote, like, objective about, like, with your arguments, whereas you couldn't just be like, no, that is wrong because, like, I feel that like, it is
that
wrong.
That isn't me, and I know that you're wrong.
So I think that's interesting as well because, like, we like to think about, like, objectivity in the sense that it's, like only facts can be...
Well, and that's the thing for me. It's, like, his... spoiler alert, my roommate was a man. like, his big... thing was like objectivity.
Yeah.
You know, like what's the facts of the matter? Like da da da, like due process, baby. love it. But it's like I agree, obviously. Mm-hmm. Like facts are good.
Yes.
we stand facts on this podcast. But also like shut the fuck up sometimes because other perspectives exist.
Yeah.
And that was like there was this one argument we got into that this is not has nothing to do with like safe and non-safe right. But he's just talking about like how ubiquitous like kind of like the Western tradition of like music theory is and he was like yeah like everyone knows it like da, da, da. And I was like well like even just in Hungary they have like a different like chordal structure and stuff like that and like it was just like completely unwilling to accept like non-Western kind of like perspectives that was like you know, facts are only facts, like, in, like, and even in science, it's all just, like, well, these are, like, the little things that we use to measure it, but also, that's only based on what we've decided to begin with, so.
Exactly, and, like, I think what you say about, like, perspective, like, as, like, a black person, there are going to be situations that we could both sit here and watch, and, like, I would perceive completely differently, and you would perceive another way, but, like, that doesn't, just because those aren't, quote-unquote, facts, that doesn't mean that, like, the perception of, like, these objective facts don't matter, even though they're somewhat subjective.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. Which is something else that's also, like, gets counted out, I feel like.
What do you mean?
It's, like, in conversations surrounding, say, like, queerness or, like, racial identity or whatever you want to say, like, people want to be, like, say, like, oh, we, like, did this testing in, I don't know, name a let's say there's a country that, like, for some reason, like, queers are, like, perfectly quote-unquote, perfectly acceptable, have equal rights under the law.
Wow.
Or actually, let's make this make more sense, actually, instead of this abstract. people would make the argument and say, like, black people are technically equal under the law. Quote unquote. There are no, name me a Jim Crow law. Literally, I've heard this argument. Name me a Jim Crow law. Black people are technically.
Do you want me to?
No. But
well, I'm just saying, like no one really talks about it, but like the policies on like loan giving out. It's like, you know, the 80s and 90s, like black people were like disproportionately given like subprime loans for no fucking reason.
Yeah. But to someone like you or I, that is a clearly racist law. But to someone else, they're saying, oh, well, that is like a one, that is like people within, under the law, discriminating against people. And that can be persecuted. Like, you can like sue against that or whatever. So mm-hmm. black people are still like equal. Mm-hmm. So like, but the perception is off. Like, you can't experience that same thing if you can't think in those terms.
What's funny to me is it's like, that's fundamentally like the issue is like, we've gotten rid of segregation, but we've yet to integrate anything.
Yeah.
But what's funny is that like forcing people to integrate things would create a lot of not very safe spaces
yeah.
for white people. LOL, we love them. I love us guys. but it's like, yeah. But then you also think about it and it's like, do people want that? Like, I know. It's like, it always cracks me up, man. Like, sorry, I'm liberal. Shocker. Shocking. but, like, conservatives. Like,
I love how you did air quotes. Air
I put air quotes because, like, I'm creating boogeymen. But, like, you know, like, people are like, oh, like, liberal, like, safe spaces. But it's like, conservatives have so many safe spaces to talk about their guns and shit. And it's like, what do you mean? We all like safe spaces to talk with our in-groups.
Yeah. That is one thing about, like, actually, that's a podcast, but that's a point for a different day. But yeah, I don't really get. But I also think it's very much, not only is it like the conservative liberal dynamic, but it's also just like the older generation, younger generation thing, where like the older generation wants to be like, oh, you millennials are just so weak, you need all these little safe spaces, and like back in my day, like we were tough enough to like deal with everything, and like the world is a tough place, when in reality, like, not to hate on older people, but like our parents' generations and grandparents' generations could have done with this kind of like way of thinking of like considering people's like emotions and identities and like what that means and like what they bring to the table in your conversations. I really feel like they could do with some of that, and that's what we're working on.
I would also like to point out to the old people in my hometown that the Rotary Club is a safe space. yeah, wait, can I talk about a safe space on campus to bring it to Georgetown?
Yeah,
because it's been really interesting to me to think about, because like I've been attending a lot of the Georgetown Solidarity Committee meetings, and like those are very purposefully like a safe space. Like, you say your pronouns, like you kind of like voice your opinion, like if you're like uncomfortable, da da da, what we're talking about. But also, it's like a space where things that are very deeply uncomfortable are talked about, like labor relations and like how that interacts with like race on campus, and like obviously like the intersection between race and like labor at Georgetown is like stark. And so it's like things that are not like really safe, like, are talked about. And it's like, and so I don't know exactly what I'm trying to get at, but just this idea that it's like a safe space to exist in, but not maybe necessarily a safe space to be forced to think about. Mm-hmm. You know? And so it's like,
well, you just mean it's like uncomfortable.
Yeah,
in some ways.
But I don't know what, like, what to you, I guess, then, like, defines like a not safe space
on campus
or in general, but I guess on campus.
Well, I don't know. But yeah, I always go more in general because I can't think of anything. I very much like actively steer away from quote unquote non-safe spaces. So I like I don't really experience them that much. Nah, like I go to Georgetown. I'm a black queer woman who goes to Georgetown. So
that's
like
enough.
I don't. Yeah, like I get it. Like it's fine.
That's enough.
But I don't know, like, even, like, just, like, whenever I'm interacting with people that I know don't really understand, like, my queer identity, I'm immediately on guard, and I'm, like, thinking about things that I'm saying, and, like, whereas in, like, I don't know why I keep saying quote-unquote safe space. In a safe space, I'm just like, all right, yeah, this is who I am, and, like, it doesn't really matter because, like, everyone here is just like, yo, whatever, I don't really care.
Yeah. Because I, like, painted my nails over the weekend, like, kind of like a pretty noticeable color.
Yeah.
And it's like, and I've just, like, had, like, bald fists in Persian for, like, all week because I'm like, no shade, I love my professor, but also I'm not ready to have this conversation with him in the slightest.
Yeah. And that's something, like, you experience, like, very...
In subtle colors at Georgetown.
Yeah, in subtle colors at Georgetown, but just in, like, general, like, as a person who identifies with, like, a queer identity, just, like, moving through the world always is just, like, is this... Like, it's for the reason that you don't get to see as many, like, queer couples, like, holding hands on the street.
Yeah.
No matter, like... I mean, obviously, like, in, like, if you go to, like, D.C. or New York, it's a little bit more than if you're in, like, I don't know, Alabama or something. But it's still, even in those cities, like, we're always... on high alert. Yeah. So to, like, have these, like, I just keep trying to think of synonyms for safe spaces, but to have these, like, safe spaces where you can just be, like, oh, like, just, like, be, just take a deep breath and relax for a second is, like, deeply important. And, like you said, like, very formative in, like, coming to terms with identity.
Yeah, no, but also rise up, Alabama gays, the gay agenda's behind you.
Yeah, we stand gay Southerners.
I mean, what, we all watched Queer Eye, didn't we? Like, I know that's Georgia, but...
they went south of Atlanta. But yeah, we were talking about not safe spaces in, like, a broader sense.
Yeah.
So, like, one that's, like, particularly relevant right now is, like, the prep school, specifically Georgetown Prep School. Yeah. And I guess in Georgetown... is in the name. So, like...
Yeah, no, we are affiliated in a way.
Oh, really?
One of my friends was explaining this to me, that we're... Yeah, because they were talking about it, talking about how... Because they're from the area.
Mm-hmm.
They're from the DMV. So they knew kids who went to... I think they actually had siblings who went to...
Oh, yes.
Georgetown Prep. And it, like, freaked them out. Mm-hmm. And then... But it was also, like... And so, anyways, they were talking about the whole culture of the place. And I was like... How culpable are we as students for the shit that goes down there? And she kind of, like, looks at me and gives this, like, general, like, sense of despair.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't even know at this point.
Well, yeah. Well, because Georgetown Prep is a feeder school for us, kind of.
I mean, there's so many kids here who went to Georgetown Prep. And also, they started the exact same time.
Yeah.
So.
Wow. But, yeah, just in general, especially, I mean, college campuses in general, too, are just not safe spaces for female bodies. Like... Even though Georgetown doesn't have a Greek system, which is, like, what a lot of people, associate, like, with those kinds of things.
Talking about rugby, it's, like, thinking about going to the men's rugby parties. Like, freshman women, if you're listening, like, please just don't.
Yeah.
Like, it's not a good idea.
Yeah, like, there's always, like, on college campuses, like, there's always that, like, reality that, like, people just, like, accept to a certain extent. They're like, oh, that's what happens at college campuses. And yes, like, Georgetown does, like, we had to take that, like, bystander training and that kind of stuff. But, like, I feel like to a certain extent, like, people kind of shrug their shoulders a little bit. And they're like, well, that's just what's going to happen at college campuses.
Yeah.
We can talk about, like, how Georgetown is feeling generally about...
Bad. It's bad, but then it's also, like, people just make jokes.
Yeah.
And it's, like, how...
I mean, there was a joke on the meme page.
Dead.
From, like, the hearings that was, like, essentially it was, like, freshman after homecoming or something like that. And there was a clip of Kavanaugh being, like, I like beer. I still like beer. Which is just, like, not the time, guys. Like, make a joke about something else. There's really no room for this at this moment. But, like, the whole... At least for me, like, I didn't even watch the hearings all day. Like, at the end of the day, I caught the end of it and just, like, could only watch, like, 30 minutes of it just because I was, like, it made me sick. But just, like, the whole, like, feeling of Georgetown / D.C. just felt, like, heavy and just, like...
I mean, like, almost. People are watching it in all of my classes.
Yeah,
and, like,
it was playing in HFSC.
Fuck. And everyone's just talking about it. And it's, like... You're just kind of... I walked into Persian today, and one of the guys who was in my class is just kind of, like, sitting across from me, and he's a little more eccentric, and then, like, one of the girls who I'm, like, kind of friends with walks in, and he just, like, turns to the both of us and is like, what do you guys think about the Kavanaugh hearing? And I was like... I was like, A, I don't really have the language right now, but B, I was just like, I don't know, what do you think? And he basically was like, yeah, I don't know, I'd probably confirm. And I was like,
wow.
I was like, but it's like, you know, he just asked so that he could say that.
Yeah.
But then it's like, why did you just wait for, like, the woman to walk in so that you could say this?
Yeah.
It's like,
And that's the thing, though, like, people, like, Georgetown is the place where people like Brett Kavanaugh are educated.
Yeah.
He went to Yale.
Yeah.
Like, not to say that we're Yale, but, like, those are, like, we're not Ivy, we wish. But, like, those are, like, the kinds of institutions that are, like, educating Brett Kavanaugh's and Lindsey Graham's and, like, all these people.
Yeah.
So, like, how do we confront that? And how do we look around at our peers and be like, don't become that? Like, you know?
It's truly insane. It's, like, how many of our peers have never received sex ed? Or, like, you know, or what is it? That one graphic that was, like, there's something like 8 states that require you to teach consent.
Wow.
And it's like, well, Washington isn't one of those, like, my home state, dead. which is just insane. And they teach you about consent when you come to Georgetown.
They do,
but
yeah.
It's like, I don't know, it's so weird. And what is it called, that first month and a half of freshman
year? The red zone?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is, like, where your odds, I think it pretty much only as a woman, mm-hmm. of getting sexually assaulted are drastically higher than anything else for the rest of your college experience.
Yeah, for the first few weeks of school.
Yeah. And it's just crazy because the odds that that's just freshman boys taking advantage of freshman girls is pretty slim.
Mm-hmm.
Because it really means just, like, upperclassmen being predators,
mm-hmm.
which is, like, difficult to confront because it's, like, well, we're supposed to know at that point, and there's nothing obligating you to learn more
mm-hmm.
at that point. And so it's just like, huh, so this is really just a terrible space, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, and it's, once again, like, especially interesting because I think people associate that kind of behavior more with, like, frat boys and, like, the Greek system. And, like, Georgetown doesn't have that.
We're a Catholic school, baby.
Yeah, exactly. We're supposed to be, like, curate personalis, like, we're supposed to
men
think
and women for others.
Yeah, exactly. So you would think that, like, those statistics would be lower, but, like, we know that they're not because Georgetown takes these, like, does polling and
they're,
like,
actually higher.
Exactly. So it's terrifying. I wish we could end this on, like, a brighter note and not just, like,
I mean, but this was the ultimate point, was that stop thinking that colleges are safe spaces. Like, it's kind of scary. Like, you're out with your peers for the first time
mm-hmm.
in your life, more, I mean, for most people,
mm-hmm.
not for all students, of course. And that kind of means that you're out in the wild, like,
mm-hmm.
loose, and it's not safe, and there's lots of not safe spaces and people who will confront your identities in negative ways,
mm-hmm.
and it's, I mean, lots to learn from that, but also, like, lots to be wary of, I suppose.
Yeah, and we're all just trying to, like, do our best to construct this community in the best way we know how.
Yeah.
Now I'm just thinking about the Kavanaugh hearings and I'm depressed about America.
Hoya Saxa.
Hoya Saxa.
That's afternoon tea, baby.
So, yeah. Everyone take care of yourselves. Try and be nice to each other. It's rough out there.
Yeah.
Anyway, this has been afternoon tea.
Yeah, this is not what I thought was going to happen. Incredible.
I don't even want to... I'm going to do it anyway, because that's what we do. You can follow The Voice on
Twitter, probably.
Yeah.
Facebook, probably. What if we had a Snapchat? That would be cool.
That would be cool.
Instagram, look him up.
Yeah, our social media coordinator works very hard. And she deserves more followers because she's great.
The gays work harder.
So yeah, follow us on that. You can listen to more Voice podcasts and more episodes of Afternoon Tea specifically at georgetownvoice.com. You can also read articles that Max and I have written, and also all the other beautiful writers at The Voice have written. So yeah, hopefully next week we'll have a less depressing topic/conclusion. Have a lovely week. Goodbye.
Peace out.